Good afternoon, everyone. I've been told there's a tricky carpet up here, so I had to adjust it before we get up here. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very, very special greeting to all of you and visitors who are here with us to celebrate this wonderful high day here in Panama City during the Feast of Tabernacles of our great Creator God. It's a joy to be with you once again. Last year we were in Jekyll Island and enjoyed that feast very much with the brethren over there. But this is our normal site, so it was good to be back here and see many of you that we saw 2 years ago when we were here. This is a very special time, as I say, and there's much that we need to stop and consider as men and women, young and old, because we're not here just to have fun and games. We're here to enjoy and to rejoice before the Creator who has given us the gift of life. Young and old, we are blessed for a short period of time to walk upon this earth that He has created for the children of men. He reigns in the heavens above in glory and power with all the holy angels. And we are given the wonderful, precious calling of life when we are given the nod by God, if I could use that term, or tapped on the shoulder. Because each and every one of us, we're just like everyone else in this world today. We were coming and going and doing our own thing because each of us have our own way of doing things. You have your way, I have my way. We all went our own way. Until something came into our life that brought us to an awareness of another way, a way that was much better than the way that we were going, and we had to come to grips with that, and we had to face the reality of some things we didn't want to face. It was called a calling from God. You and I received that calling, and it was a precious calling that revealed some very marvelous things that we never knew or understood. There is, as the scripture tells us in the book of Proverbs, there is a way that seems right to a man and a woman, but the ways of that effort doesn't pan out for us. It ends up in death, according to the scriptures. And you and I have in our possession the greatest book that has ever been written. It's a book of mysteries. It carries the mystery of God and is only given to those who are willing to yield to the requirements that the Almighty Creator has imposed upon those who come to Him and want to know and understand the Bible. If you were to ask the average person today about the Bible, many people say, well, I don't understand the Bible. You know, it's all Greek to me. They're only half right. It's half Hebrew, half Greek. But you see, there are things you've got to learn about the Bible. There's things you've got to study to show yourself approved to God. And there's a course that we are all on. It's called the course of life. We start out young and we move through the course of life. And we ultimately come to a place where you and I are set apart as a unique people on the face of the earth at this time. When you face the nearly 7 billion people on the earth, and we're just a small smattering of all that which is out there, you begin to realize most people are missing it. Just like Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. You and I think we know what we're doing, but we really don't. It is only when God reaches down and touches us and makes us realize, as human beings, that we've all gone astray, just exactly as the Bible says. The Bible is the handbook of life. It is a book of mysteries showing the mystery of God, and only those that have surrendered to the will of God are able to now, with the Spirit of God, begin to perceive and understand something that is absolutely glorious, as pictured by the Feast of Tabernacles, which is yet to come. We'll point that out in a little bit, but there's something we need to understand first and foremost, and that is this. The way of man leads to death. The way of God leads to eternal life. And you and I are going to discuss something that most people do not comprehend today because, as Revelation 12 and verse 9 says, there is a serpent, there is a dragon, his name is the devil, and he deceives the whole world. And don't think he hasn't deceived us at some period of time. In fact, he may still have certain elements of deception working in our lives if we're not careful. That's why we have to search. We have to dig in and look and evaluate ourselves regularly. And every year, God does what? He brings us to a recycling process where we come back to the spring festival. This is the fall festivals that we're celebrating now. But the spring festivals are really the festivals that first nail us as men and women and bring us to an awareness of things we've never understood before. And it basically appeals to the adults first because children are too young to understand. And that's why parents have a heavy responsibility. Your example is critical because those little eyes are watching you in everything you do. Plus, there's a tremendous world out there that is trying to influence them in a different way. So you have a responsibility to set the right example so that they are being nurtured in the scriptures, not converted, because only God can convert. God had to convert you, he had to convert me and anyone else who has been called at this time. And only by the grace of God do you know what you know. If you think you know something that nobody else knows, forget it. Only God is the one who knows all. And he's working with each and every one of us in a very unique individual way. And he's teaching us something that we have not known, and that is the way of God. And that's what we're going to talk about today. That's the title of the sermon, The Way of God. What most people don't realize is that we've grown up in a world, as I said in Revelation 12:9, that has been deceived. And the reason it's been deceived is because the devil is so clever in how he does things. You know, it's just like human beings can be deceived in many different ways. For example, when the Federal Reserve was brought together in the formulation of our currency in the United States, one person added a suggestion. You know, it's a private organization, but they said, you know, we need to put the word federal in front of it. That made everybody think it was of the government, but it's a private institution. So in the same way, we've been deceived in many different ways. That's what counterfeiters do. They give you counterfeit money, looks like the genuine, but lo and behold, you try to pass a $20 bill that's counterfeit, they say, sorry, can't use that, that's counterfeit. Well, you see, prior to passing that on and discovering that it was counterfeit, you were deceived. But once you find out it's counterfeit, you're not deceived anymore. Now you're in the know. So all of us have a heavy responsibility to search our lives to make sure we're not being deceived by the most clever and shrewdest being that has gone awry in the creation of God. And that was, of course, Lucifer, who became Satan the devil. The way he has done it is very interesting. When you stop and read the Bible the way the Bible is meant to be read, you will discover something that in three different places in the Bible, the word Christian is used. Other than that, it's disciple or learner or student. You and I are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ and the way of God that he taught his disciples. It was very important. In the words in or term Christian applies in Acts 11, verse 26, Acts 26, verse 28, and 1 Peter 4 and verse 16. Now, it is not wrong to be called a Christian. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus Christ did not come to bring Christianity to this world. He came to bring the way of God to mankind that had strayed from the way of God from the time of the Garden of Eden, when the keys of Adam were transferred to Satan the devil, and he became the God of the world that began to rule over this earth and this creation. His influence has affected all of us from one place to another. Doesn't matter who you are. That's why the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, because we've been cleverly deceived. And there are many well-meaning people who believe to this day that they are Christian. The Bible calls them professing Christians. But the reason they are not biblical Christians is the fact that they do not understand the way of God and what Jesus taught. His way was very, very specific. It is written for our learning. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, we're told very specifically that everything that was written aforetime was written for our learning. So we're in a process of constantly learning from one day to the next different things that God is teaching us in our own lives. And we learn that in a process of time. We start out young, and that process of maturation takes us right up through the years. And you learn a little bit more, and you learn a little bit more, till finally, lo and behold, you come to the end of the race. God has purposed in his writings, in the Word of God, that you and I should take note of what he has recorded. And for those who are more computer-oriented, it's like a zip file. I call the Bible like a zip file. It is cram-packed with knowledge and understanding that is unbelievably miraculous when you see it. And when God opens the zip file and whoosh, this information starts flooding out, you're just overwhelmed. You say, how come I didn't know about that before? How come the minister didn't tell me that before? I got an email from an individual who had seen one of our presentations, sent to me and said, I can't believe that the minister never told us about these things. Because you see, it's all right there, but it's all done away. And that's how, if you're a Christian, saved by grace, you don't have to obey the law of God anymore. It's all done away. Just believe in Jesus and you shall receive. That's the common line. We have so many different denominations. Why? Simply because it's their denomination. It's what they represent. The United Church of God strives to be a non-denominational organization, preaching the gospel, preparing the people. You and I are preparing for a day of destiny when this Feast of Tabernacles will become a reality, and you and I will take up our responsibilities serving in the glorious kingdom of God, making the greatest transformation the world has ever seen. No more sitting down and talking and negotiating with carnal-minded individuals, but sitting down and telling people whom we love and respect, who will be the survivors of the greatest time of catastrophe in the end time, giving them the comfort and the understanding that they need so desperately. That's why it says in Romans 15 and verse 4, it's all written for our learning. And the question is, are we learning the way of God? Or does it just go in one ear and out the other? Do we just come to the festivals of God, which are part of the learning process? Because if we ever hope to be a part of the kingdom of God, and we ever hope to be the kings and priests that we desire to be, and it's a glorious, glorious future, as we heard in the sermonette, something that just should make you so filled with joy inside, in spite of all the problems and difficulties, to know that we have a marvelous creator who's going to do what? He's going to transform this world, and if we will cooperate and voluntarily submit to him, he'll let us be a part of this price of a prince. Absolutely, what I call a price of a lifetime gift, and that is eternal life in the kingdom of God. To serve other individuals like we're learning how to serve one another now. That's what the spring festivals are all about. That's why you and I know what we are blessed to know, because we were initiated in the spring festivals from Passover, Days of Unleavened Bread, to Pentecost. These are the fall festivals for the world in which we live. For our fellow human beings who yet have to come to understand what you and I have had to live through in our physical life. And what is that? We've had to learn about three major areas, trying to keep it as simple as possible for you, and that is this. We've had to learn first and foremost about sin. That's what the spring festivals, the Days of Unleavened Bread, Passover teaches, that somebody had to die for something that has infected all of us. It's sin. That's why you and I and every other human being on the face of the earth have had to suffer the heartaches and watch the terrible, terrible things that we have seen happen down through human history. And people say, why? Why is it this way? And if there's a God, why doesn't he step in and do something? He has. He rules in the kingdoms of men. He gives it to whoever he wants, working out his plan of salvation while human beings scramble down on the earth trying to do it their way. Never asking the question, why is their way better than God's way? Or flip the coin, why is God's way better than their way? The answer is very plain. God has given us his way to teach us why we don't want this way of life as augmented by Satan the devil. So you and I are called out of this world. We live in it, we experience it, we know what people go through. Just like Jesus came into the world, he lived among us, he knew exactly what we went through, but he condemned sin in the flesh. He would not cave to it like you and I have caved to it. So he came, tempted like us, but without sin. Became the perfect role model for all of us to follow. Now that great Son of God is at the high priest's position in heaven above, and he is our role model. He's the one you and I must follow because there are no other role models qualified to lead us in the right direction. What God has done, he's taught us very clearly that Satan has truly deceived the world. If you go back and you read a book called The Story of the Christian Church, written by Jesse Lyman Hurlbut, you'll see some interesting material that most people either have not even considered or never thought about. But it shows about how the initial church of God, which Jesus came to build, he came to build his church, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And we're told that that church, when it started, was basically of Jewish constituents. But after about 100 years, something happened. That which was called the church suddenly came out to be a different church from what Jesus taught. Because you see, Jesus didn't teach Christianity, he taught the way of God. That's very important to keep in mind. Because the way of God deals with morality, it deals with laws, it deals with how you should live, how you should conduct yourself. But people don't want to do God's way. In fact, there was a song some years back sung by, he's deceased now, but some of you might remember, his name was Frank Sinatra. One of his very popular songs was, when it was all said and done, I did it my way. Well, didn't do too good, he's dead. His way didn't produce anything, and neither will anyone else's way produce anything. We have to follow Jesus' example, and he told us that in John 14, verse 6, as our role model, in Matthew 7, in verse 13 and 14, he said that the broad way would lead to destruction, and many would go that way, doing what seemed right to them. On the flip side of the coin, he says there is a straight and narrow path that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Many are called, few are chosen. Many have been called during the 6,000 years of the plan of God, but not everyone is going to complete the journey. There will be those that will turn away from that plan, that way of God, the same way they did back when Jesus walked the earth. It has to be revealed to you as an individual so that you know that you know that the plan of God is real. Now, there are people today that would rather say, I don't believe in God. Then why are they so angry with somebody they don't believe in? Because they keep yelling about God and this God doesn't exist. We're all by accident. No, we're not. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible gives us this marvelous revelation in Scripture, and it is said that in John 6, 44 and Matthew 22, verse 14, that many are called, but few are chosen. Not everybody is willing to pay the price for the glorious opportunity to walk in the ways of God. But if you are determined to do that and you endure to the end, you have a priceless gift to become one of the first fruits of the sons and daughters of God that are going to be shining like the stars in heaven above in glory. And the Bible talks about that, how we're going to go from glory unto glory. This is something that is going to go all on into eternity. The mind of God is so great and so awesome that none of us can comprehend it. Even if we put all our minds together, we still couldn't comprehend it. Isaiah chapter 55, God tells us very plainly that his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. He's so far above that. He and the Word, who became the Lord Christ, inhabit eternity. You and I can hear that word, but you can't comprehend it. But where is eternity? I don't know, but that's a place to go for all of us. We want to live for eternity because God has placed it in eternity in our hearts. Now, as husbands and wives and young couples coming into that relationship, what do you say? I'll love you forever. But what is forever? You know, you want to live forever. You realize that this life isn't giving you what you have been looking for. And have you found what you've been looking for? It's right here in the Word of God. This is the way of God that makes all the difference. If it's been revealed to you, then the way of God requires something of each and every one of us. What is that? It's what is called daily maintenance. Whatever occupation, whatever job you are given to, you have to do. One, you've got to learn about that. Number two, you've got to practice that to become skilled in it. You and I have been called to master in our life the way of God. If we don't understand the way of God and we make no effort to learn more about the way of God, which is another way of saying grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, who is our role model, then how are we going to be qualified to teach anybody in the millennium or in the great white throne judgment? We would have no credentials. Why? Because when somebody goes in the wrong direction, we're supposed to, as the prophet Isaiah says, the teachers aren't going to be hidden anymore. They're going to say, whoa, that's not the right way. This is the way, walk you in it. You see, people go astray because we don't know the way. And that's exactly what Jesus had to do. He came and then he told everybody what it was. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to show you how. I'm going to reveal to you this very important thing. To do that, God, as I said, has put many marvelous pieces of instruction in here for our learning. He started out with a group of people that he developed called the House of Israel, or the church in the wilderness in the Old Testament. Working with them, they became a national role model of what he desired for all nations. But he started with them first. They, of course, rejected the way of God. You and I are now in the spiritual dimension of that whole operation. It's all written for our learning, what happened to them, the ups, the downs. You and I are told to do what? If you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. Well, how do we know that? Because we're told that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 11 and 12. It is a reminder that we are not to repeat the mistake that they made, that there is a tremendous reward waiting at the end of life's journey. And we're in that journey. And to be qualified to teach as sons and daughters of God in from the first resurrection, which is the better resurrection unto glory, honor, immortality, eternal life, that's what we want. That's the good life. Right now, we experience good as well as bad. That's in this world. And God called us out of this world in the book of Revelation, chapter 18. He told us that we would have to do what? We'd have to come out of this world. In verse 4, it talks about that. That you be not partaker of her plagues, that you don't, because she's headed for trouble. The world you and I live in is headed for trouble big time. And you already hear it on the news every day. It almost gets to the place there's madness and hysteria taking over. And you say, well, what's happening to people? Answer Romans 1:28. As they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, he gave them over to a reprobate mind to do what is not proper. A mind void of judgment. They don't know how to even carnally, humanly think right anymore. And you can see what it's doing. It's tearing people apart. Families are torn apart. A nation can be torn apart. Who is the author of confusion? The God of this world. So you and I have had to learn something. We've had to learn that we've been battling sin all of our lives. That's what the Spring Holy Days have been teaching. The Fall Festival is a time when we're going to have to teach the world that they have been battling sin in their past generations, and now their big question is, why all this terrible upheaval that we have gone through? They will be the survivors of all of this, and they're going to want to know why. And as teachers and instructors, we'll have to teach them the way of God that will bring the peace, the happiness, and joy that everyone hungers for but can't be found until it is revealed by God. Then it will be revealed to the world. They will have to learn these, and we'll have to work with them for over 1,000 years. 1,000 years. And then after that comes the white throne judgment. And after 1,000 years of instruction and helping them, we've got to help the masses, the great harvest of the fall. We have a big job on our hands, folks, but I don't think sometimes we really comprehend how serious this is. We're told very plainly that the way of God requires daily maintenance. How do you do that? Daily prayer. Scripture tells us that, because without communication with our Creator, you begin to drift down the Broadway. You have to stay on track by staying in communication with our Creator. You have to do something else that I believe we all are guilty of. We have failed in the Church of God over the years. We have not fasted like we should. Fasted puts your carnal human nature down and calls out to God and says, I need you, God. I need your strength. I need your power. And just like you provide physically for me so that every day I can continue to have the energy to live, move, and have being, I need your Holy Spirit to keep me alive and moving in the right direction, or I'm going to fall because I don't have the wherewithal to do it. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Christ told us that. We also follow that we need to get into that Bible. How are we going to teach others if our credentials say, you never went to school? You never learn the way of God. This is why God has told us, keep the Sabbath. This is how God tells us how to eat. This is how God tells us how to spend our money. This is how God teaches us all these things. And he puts it in a context so that we understand, well, all right, now, why did I have all these problems? Why are these difficulties? Because of sin. Okay, we've had to learn that. Then we had to learn there was a deep state spiritually out there, Satan and his demonic world. And that was hidden from the masses. Oh, they have people all kinds of screwy ideas about the devil. But the devil is real. And we discover and learn that in our calling. And we learn that we have to fight him. We have to first submit to God, then resist the devil, and he will flee. But if you don't submit to God, and you don't resist, you just go with the flow, you're wide open for the attack from the enemy. Then we had to learn something else. Once we learned what sin was in our conversion, once we learned that there was a devil and why we have these problems all around us constantly, then we had to learn where true salvation comes from, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the Passover. The Fall Festival, we're going to have to teach the world their collective sins and what they never understood about sin, about the devil, and why he has got to be put away, and why we have the Leviticus 16 ceremony of the two goats. All of that has got to be explained to people. Otherwise, they say, why was it written? If we can't explain it, and as one elder said some years ago, he said, if you can't explain it, you don't know it. There's a lot we don't know, folks. We need to really beef up our wisdom and understanding in terms of the Word of God. Plus, we have to remember the Sabbath on a weekly time. Why? Because we would drift. We would drift. So God calls us back every Sabbath. Then he calls us to these festivals. Why? It gives us the broad overview of the plan of God and where we fit into that plan. It's the most exciting and wonderful calling that could be given to you as an individual in this life. But after the exposure to these things, your mind then becomes Christ-oriented. You begin to be exposed to the mind of God and what God wants you to do. And you don't do it out of a restraint. You do it out of a understanding, as we heard in the sermonette. You were bought with a price, a tremendous price of the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was given for you, given for me, given for anyone who is willing to bow the knee to God. And aren't we grateful that, as he says in Psalm 103, that he doesn't deal with us according to our transgressions? For they are many, brethren. We transgress in more ways than we care to admit. And we need to walk humbly with God, because there is a flip side of the nature of God. You know, you can talk about God and love all you want, but if you don't show respect and love toward the things God says, he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" If you love somebody, you show respect to that person you love. You don't dishonor them. Mankind has dishonored God. They dishonor his word. You and I embrace his word. We want to learn more of this. We want more of the mind of God, because we know how much we are lacking as individuals. We realize, as it says in Romans 10 and verse 17, that if you're going to grow in confidence and trust in God, your faith is strengthened by studying the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Now, I haven't taken the time to go through each and every one of these scriptures for sake of time to keep it moving, but I wanted to give you the scriptures and just give you an overview of what this Feast of Tabernacles is going to be for us, because minister after minister is going to stand up here and he's going to give you vital instruction and teaching of what we have got to learn in order to be able to teach in the kingdom of God. We're not going to float into the millennium. We're not going to float into the kingdom of God. There are going to be many people who have thought they were Christian. They're going to be knocking at the door and saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And Jesus says, "I'm sorry, I don't know you." Why? Because they taught their way of Christianity, not the way of God. You read about the way of God and how it is discussed in the book of Acts. The book of Acts talks about this in Acts 18, chapter 18, verse 24 and 26. In Acts 19, verse 9 and 23, you'll see that it refers to constantly, there was no small stir concerning that way. What way? Well, it was the same way when Paul was standing before his tribunal being accused. And what did he do? He says, they were all upset because of that way that was being taught. You and I are walking a different course. Let's turn to one particular scripture I want you to see in Matthew 22, verse 16. Join me there as we explore this important topic of the way of God. That's in Matthew 22 and verse 16. Here we find out an acknowledgement that was made in Matthew 22 and verse 16. Jesus is talking here and answers the questions that were being posed to him. And then it says in verse 16, it says, "And then they went out, the disciples, and with the Herodians, and saying," listen to this, we know now, this is in verse 16, we know, now here, do we know, good question to ask ourselves, do we know
that you are true, he's talking about Jesus, and teaches, notice, the way of God. The way of God. Because the way of God is what leads us to the kingdom of God. If we don't understand the way and we're on the wrong road, we don't get to the right destination. So here we have a clear example. They understood Jesus was teaching something. It was the way of God. The Holy Spirit was the spiritual mechanism that strengthens each and every one of us to walk the way of God. Because humanly, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We get too many interferences that can throw us off the main drag. God wants us to stay on that straight and narrow path that leads to life, and he's the only one who can help us with that. So it's very important that we pay attention to what he has to say. Remember in Genesis 18 and verse 19, it's the story of Abraham. Remember again, Romans 15, 4. Everything is written for our learning. What about this individual called Father Abraham? Well, God talked about him, and he says, Abraham kept the way of the Lord. The question is, do we keep it today? Are we like Father Abraham? Do we put our faith and our trust and our confidence in God? Well, we want to, and we hope to, but you know that we have to be asking daily in our prayers, Lord, help me because I'm weak. Help me because I need your strength. Help me because there's so many elements against my ability to do what you want me to do. So God gives us the precious understanding that if we stay the course and look to him, he will fight our battles for us. He will do what we cannot do. And you have many accounts of the different people God has worked with in the scripture. But if we haven't studied the scriptures, we can't be instructed in faith. And Hebrews 11, 6 says, you've got to know that God is and a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. If you don't believe that, then it's a lost cause. And that's why the feast is so important, as was mentioned again in the sermonette. We come here for the spiritual undercutting right here of these words. This is the meat we come for. We don't come just to eat and drink and be merry and go home. All that is, anything in the world can do that. You and I have been given the privilege and the honor to be trained in the way of God. Every day that you set your mind and your heart to want to do that, you're one day closer to be a candidate for that millennial service in the kingdom of God. That's what we've been called to. The New Testament Church of God, the Ecclesia, we are called out ones, and we're preparing now for that day of service. And if we won't serve each other now, and if we won't show love and respect to one another now, don't tell me we're going to do it later on. We're told in the scripture to redeem the time, for the days are evil. They're closing in on us. All of us recognize we're getting older. We are young at heart in our minds, but the flesh is going the way the flesh is ordained. And God wants us to enjoy this life. That's why he's coming here and telling us on this very festival, enjoy your time here, first with God, with Jesus Christ, and then with one another, because we've all been called to walk this marvelous way of God. You don't want your way. You want to get rid of it as fast as you can, because it's going to bite you in the end. The quicker you learn that, the better off you're going to be. But I know as I speak to you today, dear brethren, many of you, the words are just going in one ear and out the other. Those who have the voice or hear the voice of Jesus Christ in the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, will take heart, and may God bless you in your efforts. For the rest of you, you still got lessons to learn. You can try it. Go your way. You'll find out that the quicker you get back to God, the happier you're going to be. It's just the way it is written for our learning. And so the way of God is set before us. And we know that right now, as we look at the world around us, the prophetic upheaval is absolutely scary. We can read the prophecies of the Word of God, and we know terrible things are going to happen. There's going to be a tribulation. There's going to be a great conflagration around the world. Everybody is going to be tested. And we're told judgment is now on the house of God. God's got to know where you and I stand in this matter. You're not going to teach another way and be in the kingdom of God. You're going to be committed 100% to teach the way of God. This is what we're here to learn. This is what I hope each and every one of us will grasp. Because as Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 through 16, let's go to the book of Ephesians, if you would please, join me there. The book of Ephesians chapter 5. And in Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 14, Galatians 5, beginning in verse 14, it says, "Wherefore, in verse 14, wherefore, he says, awake." Now, why does he say awake? Does that mean some of us may be asleep in certain areas of our life that we need to shake ourselves loose? You know, a young person is a young person, but not a young person forever. And then a middle-aged person, then an older person. We go through these stages of life, and we're supposed to learn and enjoy every stage of those lives that God has given us, those individual periods of time. Let us give God the glory on it, but he tells us to awake. He says, and do what? You who are asleep, redeem the time. And I can't put enough emphasis on that. None of us know what's down the road of life. Each and every day is a new turning of the page in the book of life, in your life, everyone's life. Redeem the time. Make the most of it. Put this information to work in your life. It says, because the days are evil. The Greek word there for evil means hurtful. One of the definitions, it's hurtful in its effect upon us. Oh, dear brethren, everything around us is hurting us in mind, body, and spirit. We're struggling just to survive. It's been a hard year for everybody in the Church of God. You could write a book when you sit down and talk with people as they cry their hearts out to you and tell you what they've been going through. That's because there is sin in this world. And that's why we've got to bring about the restitution of all things with Jesus Christ as the head to transform this world and get rid of all that, where there'll be no more war anymore, and you won't hear all the agony and the murmuring and the complaining and the hurt and the, you know, people say, "I forgive you," and 30 years later they're still holding a grudge against you. Now, how is that conversion? Conversion is get rid of it. Get rid of all that stuff. Get rid of the sin. Bury it beneath Christ's blood while you've got time to do so. It's not fun and games. God wants us to be blessed. He wants us to go eat and drink and be merry and love one another. But don't hate one another. Love one another as I've shown respect to one another, but I emphasize we must show the respect to God first. He comes first, or none of the rest means anything. When you have God, you have everything in your possession because he made it all. He gave us our life. He gives us our future. It's yours. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But there is an enemy out there that hates every human being made in the image of God and would destroy every one of us if a merciful Father in heaven didn't send Jesus Christ back to this earth to save us. Time is against us, folks. Wherefore, it says, be now wise. He says, not unwise, but be wise in the Lord. Have understanding. I could summarize this. There's much more I could say, but I'm just going to wrap it up in this way. Ecclesiastes 12, a man who had great wisdom, King Solomon, he wanted to know what makes everything tick about life. He looked at it all from every perspective. The book of Ecclesiastes is many times read by the Jewish community during the Feast of Tabernacles. Isn't it amazing? They go through all the ritual and all the other, but they have not a clue as to what it means. They don't understand the two-goat ceremony and what it means. They have some suggestions about it, but it's not in compliance with the Word of God. That's why you have to study the Word of God and be able to prove all things, hold fast what is good. And when you don't know, just say, I don't know. Don't ever be ashamed to say, I don't know. There is so much we don't know, and we need to ask and seek and find and keep knocking at the door of God's throne for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. But Solomon summarized it this way. He says in Ecclesiastes 12, and verse 13 and 14, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. He says, fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole man and the whole woman. This is why you were born. This is why you're alive, by the grace of God. And it is God's desire to put us all, if we will comply, in the kingdom of God. May God help us all to rejoice in this feast and thank our God that we'll be able to share one day this glorious message and teach people how all this happened. Because if you don't understand, and they don't understand sin, they don't understand about the devil, and during the millennium, they're going to be free from him for 1,000 years, but they'll be warned, and he's going to be loose for a short time. Now, oh boy, look what happens according to the scripture. I'll let you read it for yourself. And then comes the greatest challenge of all, the millennial kingdom of the great white throne judgment, when people will learn what you and I have had to learn in our lifetime. May God grant us his strength, his wisdom, and the ability to walk humbly before his mighty hand.